Well, Carvel and Baskin Robbins is barely counts as ice cream, but when you're in a pinch,
we all have access to a Baskin Robbins.
Hey, don't you besmirch the name of Fudgy the Whale.
Yeah,
fuck Fudgy the Whale.
31 flavors and no one gives a shit.
Did you really just say fuck Fudgy the Whale?
I said fuck Fudgy the Whale.
What is your problem with Fudgy the Whale?
I don't need, it's an odd shape for a fucking cake.
It's an icon. It's a staple of a Northeastern culture.
You know what I do? I take a fucking knife and I stab Fudgy in his stupid fucking face.
Wow.
You are listening to Trophy Whores with your hosts, Tricky Mick, Alex, I Yield to No One, Sid, and Ender Phoenix.
And welcome to Trophy Wars. This is episode 616. I'm your host, Tricky Mick. Alongside with me, the man, the myth, and the legend, it's Alex.
I would like to congratulate my fellow Helldivers. Everyone, fantastic work. We have completely crushed the automatons. They're off the map.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Wow.
He's the...
Three-fourths of this podcast care.
Well, there's always...
As well as numerous members of our community.
There's only three members of this podcast today. He's the man that doesn't care about trophies. It's Matt. How you doing, sir?
You're right. I don't care about trophies. I do care about the automatons pushing back against us, and we crushed them.
Yeah, nobody gives a shit.
See, okay, here's the thing, Matt. We accused him, or at least we accused him of treason a few weeks ago for his talk about the backpack, the shield generator. This is way beyond that. This is just... I mean, does it get more treasonous than this?
I feel like next time we manage to get Tricky to play, comeuppance will be had.
He's gonna have three scopes pointed at him.
I've already deleted the game, so
we're gonna triangulate around him. Well, you said you were having fun the last time we were playing.
No, I said I was having more fun. That doesn't mean I had fun. I'm annoyed because between quitting smoking, yay!
Do you want to explain why you quit smoking?
Because I was too lazy to go to the store and get a pack of cigarettes.
And do you want to talk about how you had a cheat day the other day?
I had a cheat day today too. But then
it's not fucking quitting smoking.
Usually cheat days for people are they have a slice of chocolate cake or some cookies or some shit like that. Or, you know, something that's just terrible for you. Is your cheat day that you get cigarettes?
Okay, so when I was smoking, I was averaging about 30 cigarettes a day. Now I'm down to about 2.
That's not quitting, Tricky.
It's a dramatic improvement.
You're correct in that. It is a dramatic improvement, but... it's not technically quitting smoking. I hope it sticks this time, because it would be better for your overall well-being if you did not smoke. It'd also be better for your wallet, because you would save a lot of money every month. But, you know, when you told me this, I was like, oh, hey, that's great. And then you were like, yeah, only because I was too lazy to go get cigarettes. I was like, oh, well, this hopefully this lasts, but I don't know, because that reason's not real solid.
It's a very solid reason. I'm lazy, didn't feel like going to the store.
All right. Okay. I was going to wait to do this, but
here we go.
I'm going to fucking put this out here to be planned. This is not finalized yet.
Should I be scared?
Would you accept a challenge, Tricky?
Oh, here we go.
I will take a month to earn as many platinums of legitimate games as I can. For you, for every platinum I collect, that is a week that you cannot have a cigarette. if you... I'm coming up with penalties. No, we're not going to discuss this fully now, but...
You're coming up with penalties.
Oh, yes. There will be penalties proposed. So that is up to you whether you would accept this kind of challenge and more terms and details to be figured out. But
the baseline is for every platinum you get in a month, that's a week I have to go without smoking.
Completely. And if you smoke, there will be penalties.
Can I tell him what my suggested penalty was?
Here we go.
I forgot what it was, so go ahead.
Oh, you two discussed this behind the scenes already?
Yeah, because yeah, I needed their input.
Yeah, he asked me and Yield for our opinions. My punishment was that you could smoke. But you had to smoke Virginia Slims.
There's nothing wrong with that.
All right. That's not a cigarette that I would typically think that you would smoke, Tricky, but, you know, hey.
Cigarettes are gender neutral.
Like I said, I am going to formulate this. Will you accept a challenge?
I have no problem accepting the challenge, and I know what I'm about to say is going to sound like I'm copping out, but I'm not. My only thought on this is quitting smoking is not that easy.
Which is why there will be penalties.
Okay, but I have to be allowed to have one or two.
Nope.
Hold on, maybe not every day, but just to get over the initial hump.
Tricky, people quit cold turkey. And the reason why
I'm not able to do that.
The reason why I am instituting penalties is because I know you won't be able to go cold turkey. So what do you think? I put this out to the whoredom.
I can still vape, right?
No nicotine.
No. I have no nicotine. I'll show you the bottle. It says no nicotine at all. It's straight flavor.
To be determined. I'd rather you chew gum than fucking put anything in your lungs that fucking shouldn't be there other than air.
I can't chew gum. Anyway, as you guys went on this no-smoking challenge... part of my frustration is also the fact that I'm down to my last trophy in Suicide Squad, and it seems to be hit glitched. So, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. According to the trophy description, I just have to equip 3 tier 3 pieces onto my body. I have a picture that I could put on the page and show you that I have 3, equipped. And I don't know what I'm doing wrong. It might be glitched. I know when I got the tier 2 one, it was a little delayed. So I don't know if the trophy description is just off or what. But yeah, that's causing me frustration right now. And you know what? I'm going to smoke a cigarette during this podcast. Just be spiteful.
You're only hurting yourself, Tricky.
Well, it is what it is. Like I'm doing a lot better, and I'm taking it in steps here. Did anybody update your trophies? Because Yield Nobody does that.
You know I don't have any updates.
I mean, I haven't earned a trophy since I got the Helldivers Platinum, so I have my trophies are the same.
Okay, so give me one second. Let me just then. I only have to look up. I know Sid went on a little revenge tour and popped a whole bunch of platinums. It's really telling when Sid's going after my plat count, because my phone starts going off telling me this game was just downloaded, this game was just downloaded, this game was just downloaded. I am level 904. Total trophies of 30,250 with 837 platinums. Alex.
I am, come on, internet, work. Level 502, a total trophy count of 9,764, and a platinum count of 169 in 168 games. You know, level 502 just sounds so nice since the area code here in Louisville is 502. I might just stay here forever.
Yeah, it's not happening. Yield
says
is...
you.
Okay, let's go to Matt, because I don't know if yield's up to date.
Level 220. God damn it, Tricky, you're in the way.
How am I in the way? I'm not doing anything.
Because as you're typing in, your name appears over my trophy count, and I don't have it memorized.
Well, that's because I'm better than you. Go ahead.
No, I'm not finishing my count now.
Really? You're gonna pull a tantrum on this show right now?
Because evidently you're better than me. You can read my trophy count if you want.
I'm over here trying to update trophies.
I'm level 220, 1310 trophies, 0 platinums.
Yield got 2 platinums in the last week. I think, yes. Yield is level 508, total trophies of 10,083 with 186 platinums. It looks like he got the platinum in LEGO 2K Drive and Borderlands the Pre-Sequel. And Sid is level 888, total trophies of 26,903 with 840 platinums. Yes, he went on a little run. I'm going to have to get him. We're not in the questions yet, but Saber wants to know in the chat, egg rolls or pizza rolls? Pizza rolls, by far. Who eats egg rolls?
Pizza rolls. When it comes to Chinese food, I would rather have crab rangoon over egg rolls, for that matter.
I can't turn down an egg roll with some duck sauce.
I'm not saying egg rolls are bad, but just they're just not my cup of tea. All right, let's talk about what we're playing. Alex, let's start with you. What have you been playing, sir?
Like I said, I haven't earned another trophy in any game because I've just been continuing my campaign in Helldivers. Obviously, Arrowhead is moving us along. They're kind of progressing the Galactic War because they very clearly wanted us to get rid of the automatons, because all the major orders and even a lot of the personal orders for every day were centered around taking territory from the automatons, and today they were pushed off the map. So now it's an all-out offensive against the bugs, which, I mean, is nice because now, you know, I've complained about it before, but you would have the community split between fighting the bugs, fighting the automatons. It was really annoying because it's like, you know, if we all just pushed together, we could have gotten rid of the automaton sooner. But, you know, everyone's got their own interest at stake, and people play the way they want to play. So, but I mean, we got the job done. You know, they pushed us in the right direction. So now it's just kind of a waiting game as to when they introduce the third faction, because they've already teased the third faction from the first game coming back in. And now we just kind of need to see when that happens. My hope is that they'll allow us to fight the bugs for a bit, get them whittled down, and then introduce the Illuminates, if that's what they're called again, into the war. Because if they immediately introduce the Illuminates and we've just, you know, traded one faction for another and still fighting on two fronts, that'd be kind of, it would feel like we made no progress. So I really hope they wait a little bit to introduce the third faction. But yeah, that's all I've been playing.
Matt?
Also did a little Helldivers, but also I played a new VR game called Swarm 2, which is basically like you're whipping around an arena with these little grappling hooks, and you get different types of guns, and you have to fight off droid armies. It's a lot of fun. Not for the faint of heart if you get motion sick real easily. Also, I finally decided to pull the trigger, so to speak, and start up my Mass Effect run. I've tried playing the game a couple times before, but I feel like this one may actually stick, because I got it loaded up on the Steam Deck. It's playing fine, and it's something I could do laying in bed at night while getting ready to fall asleep. So that's really all I've been doing. It's kind of a busy week for me, especially after what we had happen on the East Coast.
Yeah, I was going to say, me and you played the same game this week. That's Surviving an Earthquake.
Yeah, I mean, 4.8 ain't anything to sneeze at, but obviously Taiwan had it so much worse earlier that same week, or maybe it was the week prior. But, you know, shit shook around here, and first I thought it was just a low-flying chopper, and then my coworker calls me and goes, "Hey, did you feel that?" And I said, oh no, this is bigger than just this. All right, and then I had to contact my boss, and work went into this emergency thing. So it was pretty interesting for a couple hours. Plus, then there was that 4.0 aftershock at like 6 p.m.
I didn't even feel that one.
Mm. It was activated for like less than a second, but I felt something. My brother said something, and I immediately went back to the USGS website to monitor.
Yeah, I even called you because that was actually my first earthquake I've ever been awake for. Apparently, talking to other people, we've had four in the last 20 years.
This was the third worst earthquake in New Jersey in the last 50 years.
Yeah, so the other ones I just probably just slept through. But this one was weird because, as you guys know, if you listen to the shows and the Patreons and whatnot, my landlord's been doing construction above my head for like the last 2.5 months. So when I felt the shaking, I was like, what the hell is he doing up there? Then I'm just sitting in my chair and I'm noticing, like, just waving back and forth. I'm like, oh, this is an earthquake. It was kind of weird. Kind of tripped me out a little bit.
What's going on with Saber in the chat? 600 second timeout by Proven Bot?
Oh, he apparently posted a link.
Ah.
You can unban him. Just type /unban and then his name. I think you're a mod, right? Yeah, you're a mod. Sorry, Saber. I didn't notice you got banned there. I don't know. I'll unban you a second if it didn't work, Saber. The only thing I've been playing, I played a little bit of the Division. The new story came out, which is really getting really interesting. Played Suicide Squad. Think of anything else they play. I don't think I played it. Oh, I played some Helldivers with you guys. Unlocked a couple trophies that I earned. Got recognized by PlayStation for being a Hall of Fame Helldiver that none of you else got.
Yeah, Hall of Famers really delete the game from their console and go back to playing Suicide Squad, which you also can't earn the Platinum for, seemingly.
I mean, once you're a Hall of Famer, I mean, you really don't have to do anything else.
Yeah. Tell yourself that, Tricky. Well, it'd be funny if, like, the PlayStation gods were like, you know what, you're not going to earn that Suicide Squad Platinum until you get the Platinum for Helldivers 2.
Yeah, they called me a Hall of Famer. I turned in my cape and my helmet, and I'm done. Don't need to do anything else.
I'm surprised it wasn't a Hall of Shame for, like, the least amount of kills among any of your friends.
Hey, I played that game where I got the most kills out of everybody.
There was one game where, yes, we're at the end of, with all the stats, you got more kills than anybody.
Which, I gotta say, is a little insulting, because the three of you all at the same time were like, whoa, you got the most kills! I'm like, that's surprising. Like, I play these games.
It's true, but you play different games that are not this one, that you seemingly enjoy better than this one, despite how good this one is.
Okay, and all jokes aside with Helldivers, I think once I get in there and I get a little leveled up and I get a little familiar with it, I think I'm going to be tearing the house down right with you guys. Between playing everything right now and that I'm playing, I don't have the time to dedicate like you guys are. So
I mean, you could spend some of the time you would play playing the Division, playing Helldivers.
I could, but then I fall behind on the story. And speaking of which, the story coming out later this month. I sat down. If you guys follow the Division at all. I sat down with a YouTuber by the name of Rogue Gold. Me and Tross sat down, and we recorded a Patreon episode talking about the game, what we like and what we don't like, a deep dive into all Division lore. So look forward to that in the future on our Patreon, which, Alex, what's our Patreon?
Patreon.com/ProvenGamer.
There you go. And then Matt. Me, you, and Yield next week, we're finishing up the Mandalorian series.
That is accurate.
So, We need a new series to go over. Some suggestions have been we do Echo, Ahsoka, Andor, and even somebody wanted us to cover X-Men 97, which I don't know if I want to do.
I need to start watching that, by the way. But
same. I've been trying to, so I was trying to catch up on Monarch before I went to see Godzilla and Kong today. Unfortunately, I only got through episode 5 of Monarch, but I highly recommend that.
All right, let's get into our topics. Thanks again, Matt, for doing the summary. Our first topic, Sony picks up Dave the Diver and Tales of Kanzera Zao for PlayStation Plus game catalog. This is coming from IGN and written by Wesley Yinpool. Two additional games are coming into the PlayStation Plus catalog in April. First up, Dave the Diver, an aquatic RPG where you have to run a seafood restaurant but need to dive to capture the fish you want to serve. Next is Tales of Kanzera, which is a day one release on April 23rd. It is a 2.5D story-driven action exploration game. Both games will be available at the PlayStation Plus Extra level.
Hey, I have that. So,
yes, you do.
I guess then I'm earning trophies in Dave the Diver.
Oh, there's your next game. Although you should be playing Spider-Man.
No, I shouldn't. I got enough Spider-Man out of Miles Morales.
What am I going to do with you?
What? You can't not like Helldivers and I have to like Spider-Man?
I give shit about Helldivers, but I never said it was a bad game.
But you don't like it. I didn't say Spider-Man 2 is a bad game. I just don't want to play it.
It's not my cup of tea.
Not your cup of liberty?
Liberty. Zing. I got a smile at a bat.
Yeah, I love all the merchandise that has come out of that.
I literally want to get a mug.
The Lipton brand, like the Lipton logo, but it says Liberty. Is that the one you're talking about, or just a different mug?
There's the Liberty mugs.
All right. Matt, what do you think about the games?
You know, if I still kept my PlayStation Plus, I would have hopped right into Dave the Diver. But considering how much is Dave the Diver on Steam? Hold on. Checking.
99 cents.
Dave the Diver is 99. What did you say?
I said 99 cents.
No, it is not 99 cents. It is $19.99 on Steam. So, you know, I could foreseeably spend that on the game and get more hours than I would on it. So, actually, but I'm going to add it to my wish list.
Does the Steam version have Godzilla?
Yes.
I don't know. It's a great question. I know that they've already done the Dredge crossover, so we'll see what happens, but I'm sure it'll come out at some point.
Because clearly, the Godzilla edition of Dave the Diver is a definitive edition of Godzilla, or of Dave the Diver.
Which is why I'll probably wait for that to come out on PC before I actually buy it.
Unless there's a Jaws, a Bruce crossover of Dave the Diver. Although that would be more terrifying than anything.
Alrighty. I guess we're going to move on. I'm sorry. I'm in a little bit of pain right now because apparently the tooth I had extracted, the tooth next to it, I have to have a root canal on, but I didn't have a root canal on it when I was supposed to because I was still in pain from the first surgery. So now I got to wait 3 more weeks to have surgery on there, but I'm swollen right here, which makes it so I can't open my mouth to really eat anything. So I'm back to eating chicken noodle soup and ice cream. So I'm a little groggy.
Hopefully you're treating yourself good with some good ice cream.
Chocolate chip mint.
Okay.
What was that, Matt?
Chocolate chip mint. That's not ice cream. That's fucking toothpaste.
Oh, I had some chocolate last night. Is that okay?
You know what? No, it's not okay, Tricky.
Okay, so what is your ice cream flavor, sir?
Yeah, can I take a guess?
He's going to say something off the wall.
Can I take a guess?
Get out. Got out.
It's going to be cookie dough or something.
I was going to guess cookie dough.
No. No, I actually hate cookie dough ice cream.
But do you like eating cookie dough?
No.
Oh, my God. That's your choice.
Oreo. Oreo cookie ice cream.
That's okay. If you were going to say something like birthday cake surprise or some shit, like
no.
That's going to be really upset.
No, like when V and I actually went to Cold Stone Creamery a couple weeks ago, I tried like their birthday cake milkshake. No, that was bad.
Okay. You know what? We're going to get a little off the rails today. Do you guys have the opinion that Cold Stone's a ripoff? That's way overpriced.
We I never go to Cold Stone because we have local ice cream, like really good local ice cream, and I'm not going to go to Cold Stone when we have that option.
I'd have to go well out of my way to go to a Cold Stone compared to a place nearby called Sundays. Sundays, you know, it's not like Cold Stone. It's not a chain, but there's a couple shops of it. And it is, I would say Cold Stone is more expensive than traditional ice cream shops.
Yeah, because I have a Cold Stone near, and Sweet Mama D wanted me to stop one day. But I went to, we have like Carvel or Baskin Robbins, and I can get the same ice cream for $4 cheaper. And I'm like, I just...
Well, Carvel and Baskin Robbins barely counts as ice cream.
Our next two articles are kind of conflicted just by the headlines.
Way to let the listeners know we're full of shit.
So we're going to go through both of them, and then we'll have a discussion. So our first article is coming from PlayStation Life, written by Zamira Khan. Sony has lost interest in the PlayStation 5's Star Wars KOTOR remake. It is being reported that Sony Interactive Entertainment has lost interest in the KOTOR remake. Journalist Jeff Grubb has suggested that Sony may no longer be publishing the game. If you remember, speculation on the remake has been in dispute with the fate of Embracer's publishers after the company has divested significant portions of its game and developers. The next article coming from IGN and written by Rebecca Valentine. Saber Interactive CEO told IGN in an interview that the KOTOR remake is, quote, alive and well, end quote. Another quote, it's clear and obvious that we're working on this. It's been said in the press numerous times. What I will say is that the game is alive and well, and we're dedicated to making sure that they exceed consumer expectations, end quote. No other comments or details were offered. Now, Matt, you read the two articles, so I'm going to let you start first with this. Is it possible that it is alive and well, and the first article is just Sony doesn't want anything to do with it anymore?
Well, yeah, and looking at what happened, if you remember, KOTOR Remake was originally being developed under Embracer by Aspyr. Aspyr lost it, and they gave it to Saber Interactive. And recently, Saber Interactive split from Embracer. And we thought that maybe Bracer still retained the rights to KOTOR, but all that's still backroom deal, secretive shit. But according to this article, CEO said, hey, we're still making it. I mean, there's a question is alive and well. What does exactly does that mean? I don't know. In this day and age, a thing could be alive and well 1 second and dead the next.
All right, Alex, your thoughts?
If you're the CEO of Saber, you don't come out and say that, because if you knowingly are lying about that, you're just going to piss people off. So there's no sense in the CEO lying. So I believe it is actually they are still working on it. You know, the other article didn't say that it wasn't being worked on. It just said that Sony wasn't interested anymore and might not be publishing it anymore. Which if Microsoft looks at the project and says, hey, this is actually, you know, this is something we might want to publish. Who knows? It could be Xbox exclusive again. And, you know, that Microsoft has the money. So what do they care? But if you all remember, we have talked on the show before. It was a while ago. But Disney and Sony, obviously, being big partners in this, they both said when they saw the game that, you know, the game wasn't in a state that they were happy with, both Sony and Disney. So who knows what state the game is in? Obviously, you know, Aspyr, I don't know, you know, how you pronounce it. I'll go with Matt, though, because Matt's a smart guy. Aspyr, they had to change development studios, so that's not a good sign. You don't really do that unless a project is, you know, heading down the toilet. So Hopefully Saber can save it. And, you know, this doesn't mean if Sony chooses not to publish it, doesn't mean it won't show up on the PlayStation. It means that, you know, Saber just has to find somebody else to publish it. So it could still come to PlayStation, but if it does end up coming out and it is exclusive to Xbox again, that would really fucking suck. So I hope if someone picks it up, it's not Microsoft.
Yeah, I was going to point out, just because Sony's not publishing doesn't mean that I severely doubt they're going to go do all that work to make a PlayStation 5 version of it. And then because Sony's not publishing anymore, just say we're not going to put it on PlayStation anymore. So hopefully somebody like 505 Games or somebody picks it up and publishes it if Sony doesn't want to do it. I don't know. Excuse me. I don't know if we actually discussed. Are either one of you guys really excited for the KOTOR remake? Because I'm not. I didn't play the first one. I got no real connection to this. I'm not saying I won't play it, but I'm just, it's not something I'm looking forward to. If it goes away, it goes away.
I mean, the hype had me excited because I never played it, but I had always heard from everybody that it was one of the best Xbox exclusives they had on the console. And, you know, I'm not overcharged on Star Wars. I stopped watching the TV shows. The last game I played was Jedi Fallen Order, which was in the last few years. So, I mean, I've played a Star Wars game recently, but I'm not, just over imbibing on it as a whole. So, you know, by the time the game was going to come out, I would probably be ready for another dose of Star Wars. Who knows? Maybe instead I'll get Eclipse from Quantic Dream. But, I was excited at the chance to play it. Now, given, the reviews and, videos that came out, who knows, maybe that would have swayed me. Usually that stuff doesn't sway me, particularly reviews. If I see really cool looking videos, or it looks good in videos and the gameplay looks solid, I'll buy into it. But, I was excited for the chance to finally play it. You know, just like back in the day, I was excited to finally play Alan Wake.
Matt, your thoughts on KOTOR?
I mean, I played the original. I didn't beat it, but, I know all the things that happened. So kind of like with Final Fantasy VII, they need to change up some stuff if people who played it are to be excited. If not, and it's meant solely for people who didn't play it, I hope they get to.
All right. Moving on. This is going to be a conversation mostly for you guys, because I don't know what this is in reference to. Coming from IGN and written by Wesley Yinpool. Some Helldivers 2 players are threatening to team kill anyone who wears a new... is that Mavillion?
Malevolon.
Malevolon.
Thank you. Creek Cape. But the community is fighting back. In the early days of April, Arrowhead developers released a new cape to reward those who successfully defended the Creek, a world in automaton-occupied space. Responding to major orders from Super Earth, Helldivers were able to liberate the planet in just 5 hours. Unfortunately, some players have begun to focus on just defending this planet, which led to the other players being upset with their lack of following orders. Players wearing this cape, news cape, have been dubbed Creekers, and kill-on-site orders have been circulated in group discords.
All right, let me break it down for you.
Hold on, Matt. Didn't we all get this cape?
We did, yeah. So I editorializing there. So what happened, Tricky, is Super Earth Command said, "Hey, we need to defend Malevolon Creek," and Helldivers did it, as it said, in 5 hours. And the community narrative, the meta around this, that Malevolon Creek has become like the planet
the reach,
everybody.
The reach.
Yes. Thank you. I was trying to relate it to something a lot of other people would know. And what's happening is Arrowhead gave everybody this cape to commemorate this being Malevolon Creek Day. And people are wearing it. And what's happening is despite not needing to defend it anymore, like if the automatons came back and were fighting on it again, the players would go defend it. They're like, no, you're never taking this planet again. Despite whatever major order there is, and you've played the game, you know what happens when you're issued a major order. You usually get medals for it. So right. Some people are seeing people who wear this cape as Creekers and say, fuck those people. We're just going to kill them or kick them on sight. And it's part of it's a fun narrative thing that the game is doing. Other, it's people being assholes.
Okay, so the part that's really confusing me is the headline says players are threatening to team kill anyone who wears the cape, but the community is fighting back. The community is the players, so like,
I guess there are a smaller group, a minority of people trying to do this, get this started, and the community as a whole, there's backlash saying no, we're not going to do that. I for one have been wearing the cape to commemorate Malevolent Creek. For those who don't know, it's not just this one-off event. Malevolent Creek is like the most important event thus far in Helldivers 2 lore. And I wasn't even like fighting the automatons when this happened, but apparently there was a stand that Helldivers tried to make at Malevolent Creek in story, and we got crushed and the planet got taken from us by the automatons. So it's always been like this big flashpoint topic within the community. It was seen like I compared it to Reach from Halo. This planet that we lost, and we commemorate the lives of all the Helldivers lost on Malevolent Creek. It's kind of like the one planet everybody who plays that game knows. So it's kind of in lore the most important event until, you know, recently in Helldivers 2. But I've worn the cape and no one's done anything to me. No one's said anything.
And how do we get the cape? Just log into the game? It's in our inventory?
Like you would earn the medals for completing a major order. You just get the cape.
All right, because after Yield posted that, I did boot up the game and I didn't see the cape. So
I didn't get a notification. It was just in my inventory.
Oh, okay. I didn't get a notification either.
And for anyone complaining about that, like that people would just fight on Malevolent Creek and ignore the major order, first of all, I understand the frustration with people ignoring the major order, because to me, that's almost treason. Like you have an order from your superiors and you're completely, you know, just you're going rogue and you're just ignoring it. That's treason, you know, if we're going by Helldivers 2 logic. But it's no worse than people going to fight the bugs instead of fighting the automatons. So, you know, what are you going to start a rampage against those people? I mean, I guess you wouldn't necessarily know, but yeah, it's stupid. It's people being stupid.
I mean, Yield just posted 1 minute ago, well done, Helldivers, mission accomplished.
Hey, here's the thing. The cape actually looks pretty badass, so just because you have it doesn't mean that you're necessarily only going to be fighting on Malevolent Creek. So, which, you got to figure, doesn't make sense, because if you're on Malevolent Creek and you see somebody wearing it, then you're fighting with them. If they are fighting with you and you're not on Malevolent Creek and they're wearing the cape, then they're helping you fight off of Malevolent Creek. So the community doesn't make a whole lot of sense right now.
All right, let's get into
time to check my social media. Yeah.
So Matt's probably going to check out for a lot of these questions. So our first question is coming from Daryl. It says, will Cody finish the story?
They gave him a new contract. He re-upped. Yes. It's as simple as that. as we all knew, the Bloodline, Rock and Roman won the tag match, setting up this, you know, move heaven and earth effort from Cody and probably some of Cody's friends. You know, Jey Uso, Seth Rollins might get involved. Who knows? CM Punk might factor in somehow, but to make this heroic stand against the Bloodline and Cody to win and give Roman time off, and The Rock's going away after WrestleMania apparently for a little bit. So yeah, Cody's going to win.
Okay. So I want to clear something up, because I don't know how many people actually paid attention, heard it, and then watched the press conference afterwards. You were watching WrestleMania last night. You heard Pat McAfee say something on commentary about Roman. Did you catch it?
What, that he was like fighting leukemia?
Right.
So I watched the press conference. I didn't actually catch that in the commentary. It was in the press conference where one of the reporters asked him about that, and he said that he is taking medication, a normal medication, to fight leukemia, but that he was currently in remission. But because he has, you know, come out of remission at least once before, he's had to fight off leukemia twice now, that he was going to have to take the medication for the rest of his life. So it's not like he's, you know, he said healthy and can do this, but it's not that, you know, but he still is something he has to deal with. So he's not actively in any kind of like dangerous health situation, you know, but he does have to take medication regardless.
Yeah, because some people were speculating that he was going to be taking some time off to battle leukemia again. That wasn't the case. So I know it's not really PlayStation related, but I did want to catch that, because I don't know how many people watched the press conference. James McCall also says, of course, and Yield says yes. So, yeah, he's definitely finished the story. And Yield tried to steal my predictions last night in the text chat. I said that they were Rock and Roman were going to win the match last night, and Rock's going to turn on Roman tonight.
Dude, anyone can see that from a mile away. Roman is going to lose the belt, and Ross can be like, what the hell, man? We won yesterday, and you lose the belt now?
No.
And then that's going to cause a rift.
Rock is going to cause Roman to lose the belt.
No, I mean, I think it's more likely, who knows, but I think it's more likely that him losing the belt is the impetus for The Rock to be like, what the fuck, man? You screwed up.
I'm saying Rock is going to cost Roman the belt. All right, next question coming from Jeremy. Says, I apologize to Matt for the wrestling question. But do you think Priest cashes in the Money in the Bank tonight? Yield says yes. I'm going to go first. I'm going to say whoever wins out of Seth and Drew, Damian Priest cashes in. But I have a weird theory that I want to throw out there. This is a stretch here, Alex. So how often do you watch Raw and SmackDown?
I do not have cable. I mean, once it comes to Netflix, I may tune in. Or Raw goes to Netflix, I might tune in every once in a while. But I usually just watch segments that I want to see on YouTube.
Okay, so
that is the way.
A while back, Finn Balor and Damian Priest moved the contract from the original Money in the Bank contract briefcase to the senior Money in the Bank contract briefcase.
All right.
I have a theory.
Great.
I think Finn Balor put a fake contract in the new briefcase, and Finn Balor is actually holding on to the real contract, and that Finn Balor is going to cash in tonight.
I hope not, because one, that would make Damian Priest look really stupid, and they don't need to be breaking up the Judgment Day at this point. There's still life in the Judgment Day. And also, no, they're building towards McIntyre and CM Punk. That's going to happen at SummerSlam, probably, or as soon as CM Punk is healthy. So no, they're not taking the belt. McIntyre's going to win, and they're not going to, because he deserves it. He's been doing really good work, and they're not going to immediately take it off him.
I think
to then put it on Damian Priest and ruin, you know, whatever momentum they would build towards. God damn it. Take the fucking dog out. Jesus Christ. It's not hard. And kill any momentum they have towards that, because that's the match people want to see. People don't really care about Seth and McIntyre as much as they do about Punk and McIntyre. That's the match people want to see. And having the belt on the line, that's...
I think McIntyre wins, and either Priest or Finn cashes in tonight and wins.
No, because they already had the Intercontinental title match. Because as Austin Theory showed, you can use the Money in the Bank contract on something besides the world title. You look like a moron doing that, but you can. So there's no other belt, I don't think, that Priest could... the U.S. title, but is he really going to go after the U.S. title? But no, Cody's going to win. They're not taking the belt off Cody right away. And McIntyre's going to win. They're not going to take the belt off McIntyre.
You don't think there's a shot that they cash in on Cody?
No, not at all. Because here's the thing. WrestleMania was always, from what I understood, a way for, you know, Vince McMahon, as evil as that motherfucker seems to be, a way to send people home happy. The big event at the end of the year that starts a new season of Raw or SmackDown or whatever, a way to send them home happy. Now, with Roman winning almost every WrestleMania, they haven't done that in a while. And having Cody win is a way to send Philadelphia home happy. People want to see it. Triple H knows that. Damian Priest is not going to cash in tonight. And if he does, he's going to fail. So I really hope they don't have Damian Priest cash in.
I think you're wrong, but my prediction's out there. All right, I got to step away. I got to get some vape juice for my vape.
You can't wait until the show's over?
No, because otherwise I'll start smoking, and you don't want me smoking.
I thought you didn't buy cigarettes.
I have cigarettes.
So you bought cigarettes?
Yes. Anyway, TD wants to know, if you could have any vehicle from a game or an anime, what would it be? We'll start with Matt.
Oh, thank you, Thomas, for asking a gaming-related question. And I actually want to put out there, he requests to no longer go by T. Diddy, especially what's come to light recently about a certain similarly named star. So, Thomas, thank you for asking the game a gaming-based question. I've gone back and forth on this many, many times, and my answer will change dramatically depending on whatever game I'm playing at the time. So let's just say Hell Pods for right now, because that's a quick way to get around the planet. Alex, what do you feel?
Optimus Prime. Give me Optimus Prime. He's a fucking truck, and he's a giant robot. Give me Optimus Prime. See, I thought about Soundwave. I'm like, Soundwave's not a vehicle.
Soundwave, but then I'm... Well, so in his original form, he's not a vehicle. They've since made him many vehicles, but exactly. I'd go there and go, you can't ride around in a cassette player.
You could probably ride around on Rampage's back.
On Ravage's back, yes.
Ravage, yes. Okay.
All right. We done with the answers there?
What vehicle would you want, Tricky?
I don't know. Sorry.
Way to bring that into the conversation.
No, I mean, vehicles don't really stand out in games to me. Like, I don't want to give a cop-out answer and say, like, Ecto-1 or, you know, Kit.
I'm surprised somebody didn't say the Batmobile.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, to me, those are more TV or movie related, where I didn't want to give a cop-out answer of that.
There's Ghostbusters video games.
Yes, but the Ghostbusters video games are based off the movies.
No, the Ghostbusters video game essentially stands as the third movie.
You're missing my point.
But it's not based on Ghostbusters or Ghostbusters 2.
No, but the Ghostbusters video game only exists because there was a movie prior to it.
Okay, so are you saying I can't pick Optimus Prime?
I'm saying you can pick Optimus Prime.
Well, fine then, Tricky. Pick the Warthog from Halo and let's move on.
Okay.
Oh, you know what, Tricky? I'm going to throw you a softball here.
Don't be a bone. Don't be a bone.
What about the R-Wing from Star Fox?
No, because I that game was stupid.
Did you never play Star Fox 64? Look, I understand if you don't have a high opinion of the franchise now, but are you gonna shit talk Star Fox 64 with me present?
I've never been a fan of Star Fox. We'll go with a
God help you, my friend.
We'll go with a card from Mario Kart. How about that?
Some of the blasphemy you're talking today, I might start smoking to deal with this bullshit. Or pick up another vice.
V's question. Do you think that non-gamers and non-gaming companies are considered making quote-unquote issues for gamers? Physical versus digital, pay-to-win versus pay-to-play, pay-to-win, violence versus non-violence?
So basically she's saying that, you know, non-gamers are making decisions that affect gamers. And yeah, absolutely. We're at a point where there's corporate overlords making decisions that maximize their profit as opposed to giving gamers what we actually want.
What was the lawyer's name back in the Sarcastic Gamer days that they made a
Mike? Pachter was not the he's the
Jack
analyst.
Thompson. Jack Thompson, right?
Who?
Oh yeah, Jack Thompson was the guy constantly trying to shut down,
and he wound up getting disbarred.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Fuck that guy. Yeah, absolutely. It's an issue. And I was kind of hoping that as we moved on, because I've always been under the belief that the people that are in charge, the senators, the governors, all that stuff that are trying to make these laws, they didn't grow up in the video game community like we did. Like, we've been gamers since we were 5, 6 years old. And I was hoping that once we got to this point, that the people that are in charge have a better foundation of what video games do. You know, it's the same people that say that heavy metal causes violence and all this other stuff. Grand Theft Auto makes you want to go out and rape a hooker, which is, you know, not true. But the problem is that, especially our Senate, there's people in there that's been in there for 40, 50 years.
You talking about Mitch McConnell?
talk about a lot of people.
Well, I'm trying to do my part in Kentucky to get Mitch McConnell the fuck out. Fortunately, yeah, Kentucky is not going along with that.
So, just putting out there, senators should have term limits. That's, I'll say that. But yeah, definitely an issue. Matt, did you give an answer on this yet or no? I'm sorry.
Yes. He
did. Okay. Next question coming from T. Diddy.
He didn't want to be called that.
You missed what I said as you were walking away. He doesn't want to be called T. Diddy anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, wait, did he miss it? Because I thought he, when you made the comment about, you know.
He was taking his earpieces out at that exact moment.
He doesn't want to be. Why doesn't he want to be called T. Diddy anymore?
Would you want to be called Trick Diddy? Got it.
Never mind. Moving on. Saber wants to know, what update actually ever improved the video game?
No Man's Sky. Done.
I was going to say No Man's Sky is Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
That's all I can really think of. You guys have any other answers?
I mean, Team Fortress 2 did a hell of a lot of updating.
Yeah, but was it bad at the start that the updates improved it?
No, but it made it better.
You could say the same thing for Burnout Paradise.
Burnout Paradise wasn't that great.
I mean, you can look at stuff like...
Hold on a second. You're going to come at me for what I said earlier, but then Burnout Paradise wasn't that good?
Burnout I said Paradise it wasn't was that great.
It was a great game.
I mean, it was no it split was not. Second. I mean, look at Helldivers 2. They are constantly adding new things. They are, you know, balancing the weapons.
You guys are going to cause me to smoke.
Any game, you know, they work with balances, like Super Smash Brothers, obviously. They, you know, did for years, they did updates to characters to balance everybody out, to make, you know, sure that anybody who was low tier was a little bit more hopefully viable, and anybody who was just busted, they could, you know, knock down a few pegs. They do it for tons of games, you know, what's the Pokemon game, the MMO? Matt, help me.
The MMO Pokemon game? Oh, you mean Power World?
No, the one made by the Chinese company.
Temtem?
No, that's Pokemon like, but that's not Pokemon. Who's the big Chinese company? I forget.
Tencent.
Made by them, yes. They sell $40 skins for Pokemon. Pokemon. What is this game?
Yeah, you're on your own for
this
one.
It's on PC and Switch. God, what is it? What is it?
I'm Googling and I can't.
MMO? Are you sure? Maybe you mean the
Pokemon Revolution?
What did you say?
Pokemon Revolution?
What?
Pokemon Revolution?
No. Unite. Pokemon Unite. I don't know why I couldn't think of that.
Oh, not an MMO. It's a... oh, God. Now you're going to drag me out. It's like League of Legends
or
Heroes of the Storm.
Game?
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Online battle arena game. But there's lots of people playing it. It's massively online. But I get it. Not the right terminology. But yeah, I mean, the games that live forever, like, you know, have a long life, typically include all kinds of updates, patches, balances. That makes games better.
All right.
You gonna pick the ball and run with the tricky?
No, I'm not picking anything up. Next question. Saber wants to know, if a dream gave you advice, would you follow it? If it made sense.
Depends on who gave me the advice in the dream.
He ain't following any advice. But then again, he's not dreaming about me either, so.
Let the silence speak for itself.
My goal of these shows sometimes is to get Matt to make a face, and I'm doing a hell of a job today. Okay. Alex, if a dream gave you advice, would you follow it?
Depend on the advice, and like I said, who was in the dream. You know, if it's like a situation where I met an older version of myself from, you know, the the future, which obviously could cause huge issues in the time space continuum. But, you know, if I was like, hey, I'm you from the future and I have to warn you about this event, again, probably would fuck up some things, cause a butterfly effect, do some real damage. But, you know, if I, you know, got advice for myself, I'm like, you know, maybe listen to this guy. I don't know. But if Tricky is going to, like, you know, get, you know, I am, for some reason, some twisted, demented reason, Tricky's in one of my dreams and he's trying to give me some advice, I'm most likely not going to listen to it because, you know.
I mean, he doesn't listen to me when he's awake. Why would he listen to me in his dreams?
Well, that's my point exactly.
All right. So, Rick, who was excited to be in the to see the show, I asked him if he's going to come to the show. He is now busy playing Super Stardust. He says he's got one more trophy to get, and if and once he unlocks it, he'll jump in the chat. So hopefully we'll see you, Rick. Next question. Saber again, what are your some of your favorite hamburger joints?
There's a place by me literally called the Burger Joint. And it's Smashburger, Five Guys-esque, but it's its own little store. It's not a chain. And it sells pretty decent burgers and some bacon cheese fries.
Alex?
There's a local place, I'm pretty sure it's local, called Muscle and Burger Bar. This group owns a whole bunch of different restaurants in town, but, I mean, they've got really good burgers there. And also, for a chain, we just got a Jagger's by us. Really good tater tots, good burgers. Good chicken sandwiches, so yeah, for a more chain like feel, Jagger's. For a more local flair, Muscle and Burger Bar. And yes, they also do have mussels for appetizers, so
I stick to my burgers to for fast food joints.
Wendy's.
I think Wendy's has the best, you know, hold on. Burger King has the best burgers, McDonald's has the best fries. Wendy's has the best nuggets.
Wendy's has the best spicy chicken sandwich.
That it does.
Yeah, it's hit or miss on my Wendy's.
I thought you weren't allowed to have spicy chicken, Tricky.
I can't do it after oral surgery. But I don't do spicy in general. Like I'm just not a big fan of the
no curry for you, Tricky.
No. Not especially with my stomach issues. Hell no.
That would be an awful, painful experience for your toilet.
Yeah. But I like Five Guys. I do not like Shake Shack. I think their burgers are horrible.
I think they're overrated.
Yeah. I do want to try In-N-Out.
Very overrated.
Really?
Yeah. So, again... Take this with a grain of salt in the fact that I had an In-N-Out burger 2007-ish when I was out in California. Tried it. Wasn't impressed.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's some local burger joints in Manhattan that I've been wanting to try, but just haven't gotten to them yet.
Can't believe you didn't say Wahlburgers. The goddess will never forgive you.
I should call and apologize right now, shouldn't I? Yeah, the Wahlburgers does make a good burger, too.
For those who don't know, that's the restaurant owned by the Wahlbergs.
Yes. They had one in Coney Island, but it shut down. So the only time I have Wahlburgers is when I go to Boston, which I didn't go this year, so. I didn't get no Wahlburgers this time. Okay, next question. I'm going to let Matt lead the conversation on this one. Jeff Hanna wants to know, why does New York-style pizza attract natural disasters?
Because New York-style pizza originates from New York, and New York has most of the best things in the world. And unfortunately, it attracts a lot of things that are negative as well. So, which is weird, because he says New York-style pizza. Tricky, to you and I, that's just pizza. Every other pizza... Yeah. That exists outside of the pizza we eat has its own connotations and is pretty much shitty. So I would say still that, you know, I'll take the pizza we eat compared to any pizza offered elsewhere.
Yeah, John Stewart said it best when he did on The Daily Show. You know, you brought up a good point. Here, it's pizza. Everywhere else, they have to distinguish what kind of pizza it is. So,
and as someone who has had pizza all throughout Italy, and including on the Grand Canal in Venice, I think you guys are a little bit full of yourselves when it comes to your pizza. But that's okay. You can be proud of your pizza.
I'll give you Americanized pizza.
Because I don't know if y'all know, but Italy makes some good pizza. They do make some really good pizza.
We're going to find out if and when we ever hit Trophy Horse 1000.
Here in Louisville, you know what the secret to good pizza is? We're going to dump a shit ton of cheese on there, and you're going to get a shit ton of toppings.
I'm not going down this path again.
To be fair, actually, Louisville is more of a crossroads of pizza. We're not known for any one type, so you kind of get a lot of different styles here, which is nice.
Joe wants to know, what is the best wrestling game of all time? And no, you cannot say No Mercy or Here Comes the Pain. I think it was WrestleMania 2000.
That was the first one done by THQ, published by THQ on the 64. Previously, before that, it was WCW NWO Revenge. There was another WCW NWO World Tour before that. But actually, at the Louisville Arcade Expo, I bought myself a N64 cartridge of WCW NWO Revenge, and that may be the best game of all time, I think, if I can't say No Mercy. Although WWE 2K17 was really good. It's Here Comes the Pain's good. I mean, top three, I would have to say Here Comes the Pain, WWE 2K17, and then Revenge. But, I mean, Revenge is just kind of, it's so tied to nostalgia and to my childhood that it's really hard to separate it.
And Matt, I'm assuming because you're not a wrestling fan, you don't play wrestling games.
No, I have played wrestling games, and I will say that pro wrestling on the NES was one of the best wrestling games ever.
Is that the one with Starfish Man and...
Yeah, and they had powers and shit you could do.
Hey, but also, you know what? There's a couple games you shouldn't sleep on. WrestleFest for the arcades. WWF WrestleFest, and then also Def Jam Fight for New York. The Def Jam games are really fucking good.
You know what? I got the right answer. WrestleQuest.
Yeah, go out there and support our boy.
I was gonna say you guys are dead silence on that. Yeah,
go support Patrick Hickey.
I'm actually gonna bring him a Dunkin' Donuts cup in after the show. He's a right around the corner. All right, getting back to the agenda. This was a topic that I was hesitant to put in here, but I thought it would be a good conversation. This is coming from IGN and written by Michael Kripe. Roblox studio head, pay to earn isn't child labor, it's a gift. The studio head, Stefano Corzana, has responded to accusations that young developers are being exploited. He said given teenage creators an opportunity to work on that platform is a quote-unquote gift. The Roblox name has long been associated with a younger player base, and many have accused Corzada and his team of taking advantage of children who use the platform to create games. Quote, I don't know. You can say this for a lot of things, right? Like, you could say we are exploiting, you know, child labor, right? Or you could say we are offering people anywhere in the world the capability to get a job and even like an income. So I can like, I'm trying to read this. So I can like 15 years old in Indonesia living in a slum. And then now with just a laptop, I can create something, make money and sustain my life. There's always the flip side of that when you go abroad and,
democratize.
Why can't I say that? Thank you. I just, for some reason, I was stubborn. And in this case, also with a younger audience. I mean, our average game developer is in their 20s, but of course, the people that are teenagers, and we have hired some teenagers that had millions of players on the platform, end quote. That's a really rough quote to read. He goes on to say the studio gives its creator a collective sum of near $1 billion per year. Roblox PR came in to add, and this is editor's note, damage control. Quote, the vast majority of the people earning money on Roblox are over the age of 18. So I put this in there because we have games like Little Big Planet, Dreams, and stuff like that, where people are actually essentially creating games and levels inside the game and giving us the capabilities to build levels.
But hold on, let me ask you, does Roblox, and I've never played Roblox because I'm 39 years old, and that'd be fucking weird. I've never played that game. Tricky, I know you're the Sweet Mama D plays that game. Correct. Are you saying that they hire people in their 20s and potentially people younger than that to work on the game? Or are people who are playing the game, can they earn money by creating in the game?
From what I understand, it's a combination of both of what you just said. I don't know this for a fact, and I would have to talk to Sweet Mama D to find out exactly. And even at that, I don't know that she would be fully aware of, you know, the history. But from what I understand is people are creating games within Roblox. And the players are allowed to monetize those levels and those games for themselves. Of course, because it's built within Roblox, Roblox is taking their cut. So from what I understand, and I know Alex, you want to say something. From what I understand, people are monetizing their levels. Roblox is essentially making money off of levels that are being made by people that are under 18 years of age.
So Little Big Planet's not an accurate comparison because they sell you the game and you can create in the game, but you know, people who play your levels, they're not paying for it. You're not being paid for it, and Sony nor Media Molecule ever made any extra money off any of those levels.
No. I just brought up Dreams and Little Big Planet just because of the fact that there are games out there that are allowing people to make levels and build games, where Roblox is taking it a step further and allowing their creators to monetize their levels. So it comes down to, is it child labor? Are they violating child labor laws? Or is this perfectly acceptable?
It's probably in a really gray area because from what I understand, that game is heavily unregulated. Like, it's kind of the Wild West where honestly, and I'm not judging you, Tricky, but if I had a child playing it, I probably would monitor that shit really closely or maybe even consider not letting them play that. So, I mean, it's not like they're going to mines and like mining ore or hitting a time clock or something like that. They're not going to a building and like a factory or a sweatshop and like standing there for 15, 20, 24 hours for a nickel per hour. But I mean, they're sitting in their homes, you would assume, playing a game, but somehow making money off it. I don't know. It's probably in this really weird gray area that doesn't fit under any of our laws because, you know, the people, like you alluded to earlier, the people who make our laws are generally, you know, crusty old people. Who have no idea what the hell Roblox is. So.
But see, the comparison between, I brought up Little Big Planet and Dreams. The comparison is Little Big Planet and Dreams, they're making money by offering player generated levels.
But they're not making money off of any of that content created, you know, per creation.
No.
They're just selling you the game.
No, but that's part of the selling process is to say that you could play games created by other players.
But look at like a wrestling game. You know, the WWE games, you can download other people's creations, other people's arenas, other people's created characters. I mean, the creator wrestler community is huge with them trying to recreate wrestlers that aren't available in the game.
That's all very true, but I'm saying that's part of the marketing, where Roblox is actually paying the people to make it. Matt, you're kind of stone-faced over there. I don't know how you're leaning on this conversation.
So I know very little about Roblox, and other than what I've seen in the potential negative connotations for what's out there in the gaming world, if what's being said is accurate in that people can get paid for their content, it's kind of like when you consider what happens on Steam, where people were making items for Team Fortress 2 and Counter-Strike 2 and things like that, and Valve was paying them out. It's a gray area out there, but I think the bigger thing about this conversation is the CEO, you know, going out there saying it's a gift. Like, people work to make money. And for him to be like, oh, I am a kind God and I created this system that allows people to make money and make a living. Bro, nobody's making a living off of your systems. You're the one making the living off of other people's work. That's just how this goes. So the bigger question I'm going to have in the end is, you know, are there any child labor laws that they seem to ignore through all of this? It's an interesting conversation, one that definitely needs to be had by people much smarter than myself as it relates to, you know, the implications of what it means for child labor and child workforce. I just know that there's been a lot of controversy about Roblox and what it does and what it enables. And especially when you look at the potential for child abuse across the system, it's concerning. But from a beneficial standpoint, you know, maybe it gives some kids a taste of what it's like to be a game developer. I don't know. It's to Alex's point. The fact is they're monetizing something people are making in a game. Whereas things like Dreams or Mario Maker or Little Big Planet, you're just building stuff with the tools you have in the game and putting it out there for people to play your silly little level. You're getting no monetization. The company's getting no monetization on their end for the things that you're doing, other than the concept of this is a community-based game and people will make stuff for the community. And, you know, that means it's much less of a game that we have to develop. You all do the work.
Here's a question. So, can someone who's not 18 have a YouTube channel and profit off that?
Absolutely.
So is that not in the same category if you have children potentially or minors creating content that they're getting paid for? Does YouTube make any money off of that?
YouTube, actually, yeah, they sell ads and stuff like that, so they're making money.
So if Roblox were to fall into this category of, you know, essentially what is being kind of proposed as child labor, wouldn't YouTube fall into the same category?
I think YouTube has rules, which I'm not exactly sure. But I think YouTube has rules in place that you can't monetize until you reach a certain age.
And also, did Roblox, like, does it, like, how do they pay people? Do they just give you in-game currency, or, like, do they send you a fucking check that says, here's your Roblox money?
I don't know. I don't know how it's paid out. This is actually, this article and a quick conversation with Sweet Mama D was the first time I found out that creators were able to monetize their levels. But, you know, Sweet Mama D's been playing Roblox for years. She's listened to podcasts about it. She's, you know, she's listened to Reddit. She's reading Reddit stories.
You know,
she's
Tricky,
watching YouTube, all stuff.
Tricky, no wonder you can afford so many PlayStation 5s. Your daughter's been playing Roblox for all these years and creating all this content. I'm surprised you don't live in a penthouse.
No. Because she does want to do game development in her future, but she doesn't. She's not making any Roblox levels.
What? You're sitting on a gold mine, Tricky, and you're just gonna let her get away with this? Not make Roblox levels? Not make content for this money printing machine?
But the problem is with all this is it comes down to what country the person's in, because obviously we have child labor laws, but we allow 16, 17, I think even, I think as low as 14 in some states allow people to work. I could be wrong. So it comes down to, like, that country's laws. And obviously, you know, we got the rumors that there's people in China that are 9, 8 years old that are making iPads and stuff like that. And, you know, I don't know where the line should be on this, but I think it is a little bit wrong that a company is trying to profit off of levels being made by the community. And again, my argument with, you know, like Matt brought up Mario Maker and Little Big Planet and Dreams. No, the company, the developer isn't making direct money off of those levels. And no, the creator is not making money for creating that level. But those developers are making money on the idea that the game they put out there is ever going and can grow because the community will make levels, and that is a selling point to sell their game. Where Roblox is like, here, you can make levels, and we're also going to allow you to monetize those levels. So on the surface, it was like, oh, we're going to let you be rewarded for your hard work, but we're taking the lion's share of the profits. So it's that gray line that I'm not exactly sure where I fall.
I mean, personally, I think that people should be allowed to create stuff within Roblox, but money should never change hands. There should never be any money gained from it or anything like that. It should just be a game that you... I don't even know. Do you pay for Roblox? Is it free to play? Like, what... I don't know.
It's free to play. You could buy Robux to buy stuff in-game. But I could do a little bit more research to find out how it's paid out, how monetization works and all that stuff. But I want to have the conversation with you guys about, you know, where does the line fall with this? All right. Any final comments, gentlemen?
No.
No.
All right. Let's wrap up the show. Let's do some shout-outs. Matt, your shout-out, sir?
Alex, Tricky, you know, I know you guys were, I don't know, interested in WrestleMania, and recording early is not always an easy feat. So, and Alex, I know you work today, so thanks for making the show. Shout-out to the community. Shout-out to Saber, who was in chat. Shout out to all of our listeners and those asking questions for our show. Shout out to the Channel 3 community. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, we have two of the bigger participants in the Channel 3 moderation team, Dan and Ray. If you haven't listened to that, go listen to that. But yes, tune into channel3.gg to gamify your social media and come on by, earn some XP, do some quests, and have some fun with the community. Other than that, shout out to my wife, V. Thank you for everything you do on and off the show.
Alex, your shout out, sir.
Well, Matt, I need to know, did you get that tall neck rebuilt after the earthquake knocked your Lancer off the wall and smashed your Lego booty?
You know, I'm missing one piece and I cannot find it for the life of me.
Did it fall underneath like a, I don't know where a comparison furniture is. Did it fall underneath like a dresser?
I don't know. I have pushed and pulled things at, short of disassembling my entire entertainment set and yanking everything out from the wall. Don't know. Couldn't have gone far. You know, it's so for those of you who, again, I alluded to it earlier, we had an earthquake in New Jersey, knocked my replica Lancer off the wall, which fell on top of my Lego tall neck, which shattered it, the dome across the entertainment center. So I've built everything except for the leg armor that is now, you know, maybe it went to where all of our left socks go after we're done with laundry.
It was the underpants gnomes. That's what it was. shout out to our community, the fuel to the fire of this trophy horse. Thank you all very much for continuing to support us as we march through 2024 and on towards 700 episodes. We could not want to do this without you all. So thank you all for being the rock stars you all are. A big shout out again to the Helldivers 2 community for crushing the automatons. And now we are going to take the fight to the Terminids, because as we all learned in Starship Troopers, the only good bug is dead bug. And shout out to Tricky and to Matt for recording early tonight. Thanks, Matt, for, you know, being considerate and allowing us to finish up early so we could watch WrestleMania. And shout out to Yield, who is doing some, I guess, party watching of WrestleMania over at a friend's house. Sorry you couldn't be here, but, you know, we'll see you back next week. And last but not least, shout out to my awesome and loving girlfriend, Ashley, who got everything set up while I was on my way home from work, so that I could record and jump on as soon as I got home. So I love you, hun. And that is going to be the end of my shout-outs.
I want to give a shout-out to everybody that was in the chat. Shout-out to... Ooh, I just lost her name. Hold on. Duchess Honey XOXO, who is working with me to make a new Trophy Whores overlay. The guys have seen it. The guys have given me their feedback. We're going back and forth trying to get it going. I'm excited to unveil it soon. The screen will not be as cluttered as you see right now. So that's always a good thing. Shout out to Sweet Mama D. Shout out to the goddess. And twerp you to the Glitch Trophy in Suicide Squad. Causing me not to have any of the platinum right now. I need to get it popped so I can be in the rarity contest, Plaid of the Month contest for April.
Tricky, no one's going to vote for that game.
I hate you, Alex. If there's nothing else, until next week, happy trophy hunting.
Later.
The theme song is Venus by the band Even off their album Zenith. Permission granted by the band and 12 Stone Records. You can find them on Facebook by going to www.facebook.com/evenphilippines.